medicine.
While you're standing, put your songbooks up, take your Bibles, go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 6 through 11. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 6 to 11. I'll read verse 6. You read verse 7 with me. And we'll read down to verse 11. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 6. Which is coming to you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again for your blessed word, Lord. I thank you, Lord, as we've been spending time in this book, Lord, how you've helped us. Please help us again. Lord, it only helps if we hear your voice on the inside speaking to our hearts as we read your word on the outside. So please teach us, strengthen us, help us, please, as your people. And Lord, we'll just praise you for it and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat there. And as you look at verse number 3, we'll start there. And I know we started reading of verse 6, but it says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And then it says, look over at verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you and to desire. You'll notice something in the Christian life. Those who stay in church through the years are those who pray for each other, not about each other. There's a difference, right? God tells us to pray for each other, but when you gripe to God about each other, some call that prayer. Well, I just told God, everything that person does. Well, you've got things about you that frustrate God too. Amen. So those who've stayed in church through the years are those who love each other and pray for each other in spite of our flaws. Amen. That's a thought I'd pull that. Watch this. Look at verse number 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. The word gospel means good news. Okay? If you said define the word gospel, the word gospel means good news. The gospel, since Jesus rose again from the dead, if you're lost, the good news gospel is that he died for you, was buried, and rose again. Okay, follow me on this. But out of the 83 times the word gospel is used in the New Testament, 11 times, okay, there, does that help you? There, okay. 11 times it's used before Jesus dies on the cross. So the word gospel means what? Good news, right? So before Jesus died on the cross, he was preaching the gospel. The good news that the Messiah had come and the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? Then they rejected him. Then he died on the cross, rose again for our sins. Now that's the gospel we preach to a lost person. And then when you look through your Bible, you'll find there's a gospel or good news since you've been saved. What's the good news? If you're saved and you've trusted Jesus who died and was buried and rose again for you, what? We have an inheritance in heaven. We're heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Amen. So there's good news. The word God, if every time, here we go. I just tried to help you. If every time you read the word gospel in your New Testament, it means death, burial, and resurrection, you're going to get confused. The word gospel means good news. And the good news to a lost person is you can be saved if you'll trust Jesus who died for you, was buried, and rose again. And the gospel good news to a saved person, amen, is that now God lives inside of you and heaven's your home and the Bible's your book and the Holy Spirit's your comforter and you have an inheritance in heaven. Okay? So he said, here you got saved and you believed the gospel. Then notice this. In verse 6, it says, which is come unto you, this little phrase right here, as it is in all the world. Every word in your King James Bible is inspired of God. This isn't talking about when God says all the world, he's not talking, well, that means the Roman world at that time. When God says all the world, he means all the world. If you miss it there in verse 6, you should put VS 23 right by verse 6 and then go to verse 23. Ready? Watch. If you look at verse 23, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, watch, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. If you combine verse 6 and verse 23, you will gain the answer to the question, would a person who's never heard the name of Jesus Christ die and go to hell? The answer is yes. When you combine that with Romans 1, the invisible things of God are clearly seen, Romans 1, 18 and 19. So that on the day of judgment, when God says, depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire, I don't even know you. Nobody will say, this isn't fair. I never heard of Jesus. The Bible says no, they will be, everyone will be what? Without excuse. And the answer to the question is, do you think God would ever throw somebody into hell that has never heard the name of Jesus? At the time of Paul, the gospel we read in two verses has went around the whole world. Everybody knew by the time Paul was beheaded, the gospel had went into all the world. Now, if there's people nowadays who don't know the name of Jesus, that's not God's fault. And it's not my fault. Amen. Somebody heard it and didn't tell. That you say, well, what about what do they say? The pygmies in Australia. You know, they always, pygmies in the outback. God says the gospel, once again, in the time of Paul, went all over the world. Every creature had heard. The reason there are people in our world to this day that don't know is because somebody in their generation didn't pass it on. Amen? Like we were all told to do, right? Preach the gospel to every creature. Okay? Now, that answers the question, well, is God fair? God's always fair. We're the ones that aren't fair. We're the ones who didn't tell who we should have told. Amen? Well, how could God do that? God's just, pure, holy, and fair. And he does not have to meet my standards. Amen? He doesn't answer to me. Interesting. I just thought we would go through that. And I think that's a very important. I was just asked that question 4 months ago. No, 6 months ago. Somebody asked me in a church, they were visiting and heard me preach, not here, but at a church in Virginia. And he left church mad. He said, do you really believe people who've never heard the name of Jesus are going to die and go to hell? I said, it's what the Bible teaches. It really doesn't matter what I think. It shouldn't matter what I think. He got upset and left church. And I said, I can show you in the Bible. I don't want to hear it. I said, well, that was kind of obvious. I'm just telling you what I just showed you people get upset over. Because they trust their reasoning and everything they've ever heard versus what the Bible says. And if the Bible says something that contradicts what you've heard your whole life, don't discredit the Bible. Amen. Let the Bible correct your thinking, because that's what's supposed to happen. Here we go. The gospel goes in the whole world. Look at verse six. Okay. Look at verse seven. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be, here's this phrase, and this is what this morning's message is on, filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Filled. So once the Lord saves you, he opens this storehouse of treasures, and the riches of Christ become unsearchable of what God gives you when he saves you. We can't fathom, I hath not seen nor the ear, nor ear heard the things which God hath prepared for them which love him. We can, that's how come, look, just take one aspect of salvation. God saves you forever when you get saved. Do you know what that means? The word forever. Nobody knows what that means. We know it's a long time, but God saves you for eternity. Just wrapping your head around that. I'm saved forever. I'll never die and go to hell for eternity. When time ceases to be no more, I'm saved because God said I'm saved forever. That God opens these treasures and gives us, he makes things available to you. As, and you know what this verse shows you, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. God makes his treasures available to you, as much of them as you desire. And because he's gracious and merciful, God doesn't force anything on you that you don't desire. All it takes to get saved is you placing your faith in your creator who created you and died for you and rose again. If you don't want to read your Bible after you get saved, have you noticed God doesn't make you? You only learn the Bible as you want to, right? But it's like when you get saved, this instant influx of Bible knowledge doesn't happen. You learn the Bible after you get saved if you want to learn the Bible. Then you have God helping you learn it. But God doesn't make you do it. God doesn't make you pray. God doesn't make you go to church. God doesn't force you out of his mercy to do anything. It's like, you know, at the gas stations. I remember when I was a kid, and I know it doesn't exist anymore, but they used to have self-serve, and then they used to have full-serve. And remember, it used to be parted. If you wanted to do your own gas, you went over here, and if you wanted full-serve, you went over here. And it started out with, you know, a small price difference, and then the price difference got big, and you learned to pump your own gas. Well, if you went to full-service, you would come up and they would say, how much do you want? Right? And then if you said you wanted 3 gallons or you wanted a half tank or you wanted whatever, then you paid them, right? And then they pumped your gas. Well, can you imagine pulling up to a gas station and they said, today you can have a whole tank of gas for free? That'd be different, wouldn't it? I know, fantasy land. Okay, we'll come back here in just a second. Nobody would insist, if they ever heard a full tank for free, they'd never say, well, you know, I know a whole tank's free. Just give me a half tank, right? Nobody would do that. People would be thrilled to get a full tank of gas, especially now. And if you went to the grocery store, I'm looking at the word that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. If you went to the grocery store and it wasn't just buy one, get one free or what would happen if it was today you can fill your cart for free? Just take one of these carts, go through the store, fill it up, and you can get whatever you want for free. Nobody would say, I'll get some Pringles and Campbell's chicken noodle soup, and I'll get back onto the things I want to get. You know what I mean? I'll get back home and do the thing. You'd fill up your cart, right? You'd enjoy that. Okay, I know there's a system where you can go to the store and it's already paid for. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you. If you work for a living and you go into the store and it's up to you to pay for your groceries, I'm saying, wouldn't you appreciate a full grocery basket? And when we don't seek to be filled with what God makes available for us, it's not God's fault. It's because we don't want it. It'd be just like you could go into the store and fill up this whole cart and fill it up with anything you want, and you just picked out three things and went home? It's because you didn't want anything. Well, if you're not filled with what God wants to fill you with, then it's because you chose not to be. It's not because God didn't offer it. It's because we weren't thirsty. In Isaiah 44:3, God says, I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty. If you want it, I'll give you all you can. That's the one convicting, wonderful part of the Christian life. You know how close you are to God? As close as you want to be. You know how much you love Jesus this morning? As much as you want. You know how come you don't love him anymore? You don't want to. All of a sudden the reality hits. Oh yeah, that's my fault. That's the wonderful part of the Christian life. Amen? Is God doesn't force himself on us. So if we look this morning on what does God tell us we can be filled with once we've trusted him as our Savior. God says the first thing, let's read verse 10 again, verse 9. It says, for this cause, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wow, if you could be filled with the knowledge of God's will and what he wants you to do, that's the will of God, the wish of God, the want of God. If you knew what God wanted and you were filled with God's knowledge of his will, seems like that'd make life a lot easier, wouldn't it? Seems like that would make decision making a lot easier, wouldn't it? If we were filled with the knowledge of God's will, seems like that would make a life of a lot more rejoicing over and less regrets. Here's a question then. When you read in your Bible this morning and we find out that God wants to fill you with the knowledge of his will, does your reading and how you use your free time show that you're interested in being filled with the knowledge of God's will? When can God do that? Because God only speaks through his word. God only reveals himself through his word, right? If you don't read your Bible, God can't talk to you. Let me restate it. If you don't read your Bible, God can't help you. I'm waiting for a vision. Okay, that's Old Testament. God doesn't do that anymore. Well, I'm waiting for a dream. If you eat enough pepperoni on your pizza, you can get a nice dream at night. Okay, just eat it right before you go to bed. It'll be awesome. Okay, you'll see things Daniel never saw. Okay, all right. I'm just saying, if you don't, when do you give God an opportunity to teach you and help you? When can God fill you with his knowledge of his will? There has to be a time for that if it's going to, okay? Or are we content with what we have until we get in a jam and then we just cry out to God for an emergency supply? Isn't God good to us? Aren't we glad God doesn't treat us the way we treat him? Isn't God more faithful to us than we are to him? Because God's still been good. When, praise the Lord, we haven't. Amen? When you cry out to God and you humble yourself, he never goes, oh, now you need me. Oh, yesterday when things were going good, God never puts it back in your face, does he? Aren't you glad? What a good God. Amen. What a merciful and gracious God. God wants to fill us with His with the knowledge of His will. Take your Bible, go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Look at verse 15. Acts chapter 9 and verse 15. You know, the Christian life is learning about what God did for you when He saved you. Amen. We'll never understand it all. We just rejoice in it. Amen. That His blood washes away our sin and we're saved forever and we get to spend eternity with Him and He's our Father and we're His child and we rejoice in that. But all of the things that God gives us, we learn about and that we spend the Christian, that's part of the Christian life and growing. Look at verse chapter 9, look at verse 15. It says, but the Lord said unto him, Acts chapter 9, verse 15, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I'll show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, brother Saul, this is what Paul just got saved. The Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in thy way that as thou camest hath sent me, watch, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. The next thing, so God says when He saves you, He wants to fill you with the knowledge of His will. A Christian should not be living this way. I just don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know why I'm here. I'm purposeless. I don't know. I don't know what my life's supposed to be doing. The knowledge of His will, God's given it to you. God showed us what He wants us to do for Him. Amen. Well, then God says He wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes inside you to live. Ephesians 1 verse 13. The Holy Ghost regenerates you, then seals you, then comforts you, then guides you. But listen, you aren't filled with the Holy Ghost or controlled by the Holy Ghost until you ask. Luke chapter 11 verse 13, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? If you're saved, God lives inside of you. But God doesn't control you or fill you until you say, please fill me and control me. My hands are yours, until you're yielded to God. Because what? God didn't make you get saved and God doesn't make you live right either, right? If you want God's power, you have to ask. Lord, please control my mind, control my mouth, control my eyes, control my hands, control my feet. I'm yours. Fill me and use me. Luke 11, 13. Here, God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit now that you're saved. But could I ask you this question? Think about it. When was the last time you asked God to fill you and use you? I think we have wonderful church services, and I'm very thankful to be the pastor of Gospel Light Baptist Church. But could you imagine what type of a church service we would have if everybody, before they came to church that morning, got on their knees and said, dear God, fill me with your Holy Spirit and speak to my heart and flow through my pastor and help him as he preaches your word. And dear God, speak to our hearts. Can you imagine if every child of God asked God to fill them with the Holy Spirit and then we met? Whoo! I like our church services, but that'd be a humdinger, amen? That'd be wonderful. When was the last time you asked God to fill you? Because if you haven't asked God to fill you, He doesn't. It doesn't accidentally happen, right? You have to want it. You have to desire it. Here, okay? We have the Holy Spirit if we're saved, Romans 8, 9. But the troubles and frustrations that we have in our relationships with each other and our problems are not because we don't have the Holy Spirit, but because we're not filled with the Holy Spirit or controlled by the Holy Spirit. Too much of me and my flesh in the reactions I give is not enough of the Spirit of God. When I have relationship problems, it's not God's fault. It's my fault. I didn't do what God wanted me to do. Amen? I did what I wanted to do. I said what I wanted to say. Filled, God says, since you've been saved, I want to fill you with knowledge of my will. I want to fill you with my Holy Spirit and help you and control you. And help you. Here we go. What else? Go to Acts 13. You're in Acts chapter 9. Look at chapter 13, verse 49. Ready? Acts chapter 13. Look at verse 49. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. Watch, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. What an amazing verse. Goes right along with Acts chapter 5. Wow. So when you get saved, if I take this passage, God gives you access to joy, and there are days when we enjoy the joy of the Lord, and we have a really good day, but sometimes life doesn't go my way, and people say things that hurt us. That happens, right? That's life. But here in this passage, as you look at this, the disciples had their legs knocked out from underneath them, they were run out of town, yet they were filled with joy. That tells me this, when life doesn't go our way, God still can fill us with joy that's not hindered by our circumstances. I can have a good day inwardly regardless of what's happening outwardly. I know we all have disappointments and conflicts. God's joy is much greater than what's trying to steal my joy. And listen, I can be filled all the time if I want. Isn't that, okay, to me, this message convicted me first before it convicted you. Amen? But when you start realizing God wants to fill you with joy no matter what you're facing or no matter what you're going through, you can still rejoice in what God's done for you and because of where you're going, then to live under the circumstance, you know, you have somebody, well, how you doing? Well, pretty good, you know, considering the circumstances. You want to go, well, what are you doing under there? You're supposed to be living over this earth. In other words, life will have its hard times, but they aren't supposed to control me. We all will deal with battles and heartaches and frustrations, but they don't have. I can be filled with joy if you're a child of God anytime that you want. Amen. That helps me. That lets me know this. When I'm depressed, you get depressed. It's because I'm being selfish. Life didn't go my way and turn out the way I think it should have turned out, and things aren't happening the way I think they should happen, and the depression hits. Then you know what I have to tell myself? Get right with God. Knock it off. You want to wallow there? Keep wallowing in your own mess and your own spit and your own selfishness. Keep on. Until you decide to get up, you will wallow. That's important. Isn't that wonderful to know God says at any time, no matter what you're facing, I want to fill you with joy. I want to fill you with the knowledge of my will. I want to fill you with the Holy Spirit. I want to fill you with joy. Here, go to Romans. Go to Romans chapter 15. You're in Acts. Go to the next book over. We only have 50 more verses to look at this morning. No, I'm just kidding. Romans chapter 15. Yeah, a few people just said, well, good, I wanted to take a nap. So, Romans 15, look at verse 23. Ready? Here we go. Romans 15, look at what else God wants to fill you with since he has saved you. Look at verse 23. But now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire in these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you. If first I be somewhat, look, filled with your company. What a statement. Filled with your company. That's your fellowship. We can be, when you get saved, God makes fellowship available with other Christians. You say, well, everybody's got that. Talk to the missionaries when they take the wife and the kids and they go overseas and there's nobody there for a year or two. You start longing for Christian fellowship. Sometimes we take it for granted. Amen. We get to come to church. You know what true fellowship is? It's in me enjoying how God worked in your life and answered your prayers and is helping you. And then I testify how God's helping me and working in my life. And that encourages you. That's fellowship. Filled with your company. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. We know that we've passed. We enjoy Christian fellowship. And at any time, you can be filled with others' company in the Christian life. Look at, okay, you're in chapter 15, verse 23. Look at verse 14. Ready? And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. Just took the word filled this morning and turned it into a Bible study, and we're going through it in the order of the New Testament. But I can draw conclusions. What does God want me to be filled with? And here God says goodness and knowledge. Listen closely. The most educated man in the world was Solomon. God gave us a record of that wisdom that God gave him right here. Amen. The man who worshiped God the most is David. And God gave us a record of David's worship right in your Bible. What God showed Isaiah and Daniel and John, God has given us in his word. God came down, dwelled among us in the flesh, gave us four records of what he taught while he was here among us. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you could, okay, it's all available to you in his word. God's knowledge, that's why I said, if you're not reading your Bible, God can't speak to your heart. It's very important that you read your Bible. He taught, okay, God came down, dwelled among us, okay, I'm sorry. If you could have God's word and know everything God wanted you to know instead of all the clutter from the information highway and all of its clutter, you know, the internet, you could know everything God wanted you to know about marriage because it's all right there. God designed it. God tells us how to do it. You could know everything you want to know about child rearing. Right there at any time, right? You could know everything you need to know. You say, well, times are getting ready to get hard financially and we're getting ready to go into struggle. You could know everything God wants you to know about money right there. How to handle your money in hard times. Well, what are you supposed to do in a recession and then a depression? Right there. It's filled with God's goodness and God's knowledge. Filled. You could have it at any time. Isn't it wonderful? You can have as much knowledge from God and be filled with it. Listen, if you want it. If you want it. Take your Bible. You're in Romans. Go 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 4. What does God want to fill you with when he saves you? What could God fill you with if you let him? Look at 2 Corinthians 7 verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. Watch, I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Look at verse 6. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. Just let me give you a thought here. God used the Apostle Paul to say, in all of our fears and our troubles and our heartaches, we were filled with comfort. Did you know whatever you're going through this morning, You can have a nervous breakdown, you can have an anxiety attack, or you could let God fill you with comfort. This isn't just for Paul. Amen. This is for us. And all of us are going to have times when it hurts, when the pain is deafening and you can't hear anything else. Do you run to your Bible? Or what is it that gives you comfort? Would you let God comfort you? The Holy Spirit's called Comforter four times in the Bible. Four times in John 14, 15, and 16. God wants to not just comfort us, isn't it beautiful, but fill us with comfort when we're hurting. The only problem is we don't let him. You're in 2 Corinthians 7, go to chapter 1. This word comfort, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. What a verse. Watch verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Christian, whatever you're facing this morning, God wants to help. The problem isn't God. The problem is we won't let God fill us with comfort. Oh, I've got to get to my Facebook page. I've got to get to my social media. I've got to get to this. I need to get to the Bible so God can help me. Here, go to Ephesians, okay? Okay, Ephesians chapter 3. Two more. I know you could do this Bible study on yourself, okay? You say, preacher, you took a concordance and you look up the word filled and you went through the New Testament and you pulled out these six things that God wants to, I could have done the same thing. I know, but we'll do it when you go home. Amen. Do it yourself and you might get some new truths out of it. Amen. But watch this. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Look at, here we go. Verse 14 starts his prayer. Look down at verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what's the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow. The fullness of God. Who God is. You could be filled with that. Filled with knowledge. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with joy. Filled with goodness. Filled with the fullness of God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody we spent time with, when we were finished, they just said, wow, what a godly person. Wow, what a holy lady she was. You could be filled with all the fullness of God. Now listen, you might have to get rid of some things to make room for that. You might have to, okay, there might be some things that are incompatible with God that you have to lay aside, but you could have as much of God as you want. Isn't that a wonderful news? Now that you're saved, you can have the fullness of God if you'll let God fill you. If you'll let God fill you. Look at, if I just read to you, you say, okay, well, what's the opposite? What the world has to fill you with, I don't want. You say, are you sure? Listen to this. As a matter of fact, go to Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to read you a small list, but look what the world is filled with. Okay? Go to Romans chapter 1, and then just listen to me, and we'll all look at verse 29 here together in just a second. Ready? When I look at Acts 13:45, the world is filled with envy. When I look at Acts 19:29, the world is filled with confusion. When you read Romans chapter 1, verse 29, watch this. Being filled with all unrighteousness, filled with fornication, sex outside of marriage, filled with wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, full of backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, full of without understanding, full of covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Does not that describe Pride Month? What a bunch of demon-possessed, wicked people. I'm getting so sick of the advertisements, and you say, what are you going to do? Wait until July 1st, amen, when it's over? Nothing we're going to change. But I thinking, you know, I'll be looking at, you know, YouTube instructional videos or something, and these stinking queer ads come up. What in the world? I want to shoot my computer, man. Amen. I'm just, it says they know what they're doing is worthy of death. They're reprobates. Look at verse number 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. June is called Pride Month now in America. Don't turn to it. Just listen. Ezekiel 16 verse 49. You could look it up later. Ezekiel 16 49. It says, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride. Fullness of bread and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. God says the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, it was homosexuality. God says their first sin was pride. I think, I don't like it, but it's well named. By pride. Well, what a bunch of nasty people. Society we're living in. The world is filled with that. Can I say this morning, I would rather be filled with what God has for me. Amen. It's like, you know, going into the grocery store and being offered a full grocery cart of anything in the store for free. And somebody says, no, I'd really rather go out back. Do you got a dumpster around here? I'll go back out to your dumpster. Amen. I've been dumpster diving too. I'm talking about for the yucky stuff. Okay. All right, don't kill my sermon illustration, all right? The world wants to fill up on garbage. And you know, here, take your Bible and go to Ephesians 5, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5. This is the last verse we'll go to. You say, Pastor, every time you say that, I promise, okay? Look at Ephesians 5, verse 18, okay? It says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? But be filled with the Spirit, capital S. Then notice it's a semicolon, and if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the next few verses show what you'll do if you're a Spirit-filled Christian, right? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Verse 20, you give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? You submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's all one sentence, right? Verse 18 to 20. You know, if I took this morning and I compared the pub, it's in Charlotte Hall, it's a drinking place, to our church. It's a place where people gather. People go in a drinking place because they like the atmosphere, because their friends are there. And there's some that go in there and they drink a little bit because it, you know, it makes them feel good and they want to relax and, it makes whatever woman they're lusting after look better. That's Bible. And then there's others that go into the pub and they say, pour me another, pour me another, pour me another, pour me another, until the alcohol totally controls them and what they say and what they do and the way they think and the way they act is controlled and they become another person. Okay? If I compared that place to this place, there's some people that come to church because they like the atmosphere and their friends are here. And they don't want to get drunk on Jesus. They just want a little dab because it makes them feel good and reminds them of the old days. But then there's others in our church. When they come to church, they say, pour another, give me another, give me another, give me another, until the Bible starts to influence the way they talk and the way they walk, and they become another person. Just, isn't that what God's comparing in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8? Be not drunk with wine. Don't drink alcohol excessively because it'll change you. But drink God's word and what God has for you and let God fill you excessively. That's the word drunk. Because it will change you. See, there's some people, that go to the pub. If everybody in there was drunk, they wouldn't want to be there either. Well, a bunch of rowdies, bunch of railroad. I'm not going to a place where a bunch of drunks are. I just go in there and, you know, just want to relax a little bit. They don't want to be where a bunch of drunks are. You know, there's Christians that don't want to be where a bunch of people are drunk on Jesus either. Because that'll change the way I talk and the way I walk and where I go and the way I think and how I live my life. Christian, this morning, God says, don't be excessive with what the world has. But be excessive and be filled with what God has so it can change you. Isn't it wonderful to know this morning? You could have a full tank, a full cart if you want it. The only reason we're not filled with joy, with the Holy Spirit, with the knowledge of God's will, with goodness, we just went through the whole list, right? The only reason is because, you got a dumpster out back? That's the wonderful part of the Christian life. God says, how much of me do you want? You have access to it all. Aren't you glad? Christian, what are you filled with? Let's pray. Father, please help us this morning. Please, I know you want to fill us with your knowledge of your will. Lord, I know you want to use each person here. But please, Heavenly Father, help us to seek your face and to seek you and to put you first. Lord, I know you're the only one that offers us a life with no regrets. So please, help us as your children. Thank you for your patience and your mercy and your grace, but please use this truth this morning in Jesus' name.